Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And every Monday, you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Go to a room, I talk to some people, and you know, they talk about what they do, blah, blah, blah. Then it comes to me and say, then I tell people, oh, I'm a stay-at-home dad. And then you see this like awkward silence. And then they will ask their question, what else do you do?
What else?
Welcome back to Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
And I'm Dawn, SG Budget Babe. And today in the studio, we have a special guest for this episode. He's none other than Cliff. So Cliff, a few words of introduction.
Okay, my name is Cliff and I'm a stay-at-home dad for the past 3.5 years, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been long, almost 4 now, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we brought in this episode with him to guest star because we felt that, you know, a lot of podcasts and shows out there and magazines and basically media, right? The whole female perspective has, stay-home moms have had their share. Mm. We should hear from the stay-home dads as well.
You sure it's not because we just wanted Eric to go?
Sorry, Mr.
It's like, Eric, enough of your talk, right? We need a new person. We need a switch up. We want to talk a little bit about, should you quit your career for your kids, right? Should you quit your career for your kids? And I know it can be a much more nuanced discussion. That's why we're here today. Yeah.
And we have a very deliberate setup because Cliff gave up to everything to be a stay-home dad. You're 100% stay-home dad. I chose the easy way route. As you guys know, I'm like 50%. I think explore that.
Well, I think everybody's different, right? Like every parent family makeup is different. So I don't think like, you know, I think it's up to each parents to decide what works for them. And I know many stay-at-home dads, they do part-time stuff, right? So it's, and actually these days, things work can be so flexible. You work at home and you do this and that. So I think we're gonna all, like everybody is a bit different. And that's okay.
But today I think that's the idea, right? We want to talk a little bit about this because this whole like total fertility rate, once again, is in parliament. You know, this whole discussion is once again there. You know, but it's always discussed in such an economic light.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, if this is low, we got to bring in more people. You know, we got to do this, more bonuses. But I think that's one side of the argument.
They're missing the big picture.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're missing the amount of work it takes to raise a kid, nurture a kid. And not to mention a lot of things go and they get sacrificed if you choose the easy way out. So the extent of your relationship with the kids will be very different if you spend more time, whether it's stay home or half part-time thing or whatever, right? But yeah, if we just go to being like, you know, dual income, like how our parents' generation did it, well, I mean, from that family episode, we saw how much toxic baggage that was, right? We need to change things up. Yeah. And I think the government, for all their credit, yes, they can throw money at the problem, but it's more than just money. We need to change the perspectives, how society views it, and more importantly, how stay-home dads and moms are viewed by society as well as when they want to reintegrate back. How can we help that? I think that's a bigger issue to solve.
Yeah, so that's the social lens, right? That's the social lens that we're trying to go for today.
Social compact.
Yeah, wow. Can you not? I'm trying to like make it like more down to earth, and it's like all these big words, right?
We're not sponsored by the government, okay?
Ministry of Family and Social Services.
I just stole Lawrence Wong's term.
I know.
We're helping to create a new social compact, and this new social compact needs to embrace the fact that all these things are changing. And there's more focus on all these soft skills and intangibles that money cannot solve.
Yeah, maybe you can start with just discussing like what is a common misunderstanding of stay-home dads?
Yeah, what's the biggest misperception that you usually see or encounter?
It's also part of my frustration, my beef being a stay-home dad. It's like sometimes, you know, I go to a room, I talk to some people and, you know, they talk about what they do, blah, blah, blah. Then it comes to me and say, then I tell people, oh, I'm a stay-home dad. And then you see this like awkward silence. Mm. And then they'll ask their question, what else do you do?
What else?
Right? So you know, I of course, I got to be like, you know, before, I mean, okay, like I always have to like switch on my like, you know, intelligent thing, right? So then I'll be like, say something, you know, that, you know, people will think of me, say, oh yeah, then I say, oh, I'm actually studying my Masters of Divinity on part-time basis, you know, just so people think that there's more, you know. But a lot of times I think the assumption is that, what else do you do? Because I think, you know, that being a stay-at-home dad is, you know, I don't really know, but my guess is that people think that stay-at-home dad don't really do too much.
Yeah. Let's unpack that. I think the fact that question
or even
gets
stay-at-home mom,
asked,
right?
Yeah, it shows that society generally don't value the work and the contributions of stay-at-home parents, right? I mean, if you do value, then why do you need to ask what else do you do? And maybe that also shows that society doesn't think that this time and this work is meaningful, is productive. That's why you need to justify with something else. Like, oh, I'm taking my part-time master's. Oh, I am doing like part-time something. Why do we have to do that?
Yeah,
you're right. Like, right. Actually, I just say that it's a full-time job and
it's more than what
it
you
is.
Do.
It's more than full-time because
it's more than a full-time.
It's all the time, right?
You never knock off.
No day off. It's crazy hard.
Yeah,
right?
There's
sometimes.
No bonus, no CPF.
Yeah,
no,
and then the kids wake up at like 4, 5, 6, you know, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the middle
and
of the
night.
And the
worst thing, you can't quit this job.
Yeah, you cannot, I gotta take a time out.
Interview.
It's very hard. It's very challenging, especially when the kids are early years, right? Then they really need you hands-on all the time almost.
Yeah, I think it would be beautiful if society reaches a level whereby people can say, I'm a stay-at-home dad or I'm a stay-at-home mom. And instead of people asking, what else do you do? They'll be like, wow, I really respect you. It must be hard or it must be difficult.
No, and once upon a time, it was norm, right? Like housewives is a norm thing. You know, housewife has a negative derogatory stance to it today, but in the
but
past,
yeah,
housewife
just
housewife.
Ago, it was very
right,
normal.
Right,
but I think also like that was a very different time and age because back then there were more kids. Mm. So, I mean, if you really wanted to try and justify it, the one person staying home to take care of many kids is more productive than taking care of a few. But times have changed, right? Mm. And the relationships have also changed. The way we raise our kids and what they go up against in the world, the stress that they face in school has also changed so much.
Yeah, and I also think the cost of living, right? Yeah. Last time, single income families could
you can survive,
yeah.
You now, can pay for the house and do all this
stuff
for the
now
family.
It's like,
it's very hard.
It's almost impossible, it's right? And
actually,
that's why
most of the stay-home parents, at least when one figure stay home, I realize the spouse has to be of a certain, at least have to cross a certain income threshold.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that family is unable to make this sort of decision.
It's just impossible.
Yeah. Do you find this
choice.
As well in your own experience?
Yes. I mean we made the decision not primarily looking at economics, like, you know, at our finances, but we made decision based on, I mean, what our needs are. So just to explain like how I got become a stay-at-home dad is
what made you and your
wife
decide on this path?
So my disclaimer is that, like, you know, I don't really like kids until my first born.
Oh.
Right? I'm not the type that, oh, I love kids, I'll play them. No, of course not.
The stay-at-home dad does not like kids.
Do you like
your kids?
Yeah, that's right. Along the way, so what happened was that my wife is a medical doctor and she has a bond with the government to serve. So we were in Canada and the States for a period of time before COVID hits. So when we came back, she has to start working to finish off her bond. So that means that she has to work. There's no way to do part-time or whatever. And so at that time, my kids were 2 and 6 months or like 3 months or something like that. So it's very, very young, very small. So there's a couple options, right? I can send them to preschool or daycare and then I go back to work. And or I can, you know, get a helper to do this and clean up the house and do that. And I'll go to work, you know. So we look at different restaurants. We visited different schools. And then what we have decided is that it will make sense for me to stay not working for a period while she works and I look after the kids. And how did we come to that is that because I work in church, in nonprofit. and you don't make the money in a profit, right?
So that's no profit to begin with.
That's no profit. It's not private driven, you know. It's not, I'm not going to make the big bucks.
Yeah.
But also I realized that, you know, it doesn't make sense for me to work and not see my kids, right? And then my paycheck goes all to daycare. I have someone else to look after the kid. And so with that, I decided, okay, you know what? That's just being gung-ho, not realize what I'm doing, just jump in and say, that's me, stay home there. And that's how I made that decision. And, you know, I struggle. I think, I don't know if others stay home there, but I do. Is that, you know, I feel like in the first, like, I feel like my day has no purpose. It's very mundane, right? I would take my kids, go to the mall, go to eat watermelon, and then go to library, go to NTUC, go home. Every day is the same. You know, I feel like it's a waste of my time. I could do something much better in my with my life than this. And, you know, obviously nobody will give you applause for doing that. Or at least I didn't got any. No, but you know, so I just feel like, what am I doing? And I struggled with that for about, I don't know, 6 to 8 months. So I mean, I realized that, oh, when I teach my kids something, they can pick it up. They learn something. Then that really changed my paradigm of what it means to be a father. You know, where like before, if I had it my way, I won't see my kids and how would they know who their parents are, right? But now I realized that, oh, when I spend time with them, that's actually what it means to show love to them. Of course, you know, talk to any parents, of course they will say they love their kids, right? But how do I show love to my kids so that they understand the love, right? And for my kids, especially the older one, is spending time with her, like quality time. And I realized, oh, that's what it means. And then I can see how I can teach her things. I can show her things. We do a lot of, you know, things together. And we started homeschool. So with being a stay-at-home dad, we started homeschool. Okay, at first, not me, mostly my wife, because my wife's better at it. But then it came to a point where, like, she's told me that she cannot handle the homeschooling. She's working as well. So what happens? I take on part of the homeschooling. I do math, science, logic, all the other stuff, right? All the, you know, she does the language, Chinese, English, grammar, which is better than me in all those. And yeah, so I was able to taught her things along the way. And I thought that was a really wonderful experience. Not just teaching her things, but actually like being there with her, the relationship that we have to do something together for her to learn. I think that is something that I realized, wow, had I taken the other route of the traditional route of me working and my wife working and my kids going to school, we'll miss all that.
Yeah. But we're curious to know, like, have you at any point, I mean, this topic is about sacrifice, give up your career.
Wow,
have
so you ever elevated, felt
like you were giving up, you're sacrificing your career for your kids?
I would say to a certain degree, yes. I think, like, I'm 42 right now. Yes, I'm 42. So, you know, if you're working, climbing the corporate ladder, you should be like almost at the peak, right? You know, and so, you know, there's always this fear, right? Like if you're not doing working, like you're not climbing, then, you know, you are like, you know, you'll be left behind. But I think like looking back, I'm glad I made that decision as a stay-at-home dad because I realized that like, you know, like these days we always talk about like, how do you build resilience in your kids? How do you, you know, make them, you know, able to cope with all these changes in the world and society and pressure, you know? And for me, at least me and my wife, we talked about it, you know, that how do we help them is by giving them love. And going back to it is how do we love them is by, which is the most costly, is spending time with them. Because time is expensive, right? Time is limited. You cannot, you know, I can always go back to work again, or I can always, you know, go, you know, send me my CV and start working. But like once I lose the opportunity, my kids is gone. Like, you know, especially the first couple of years. Cause I mean, once they go to primary school, like you won't see them half the day already.
Yeah.
And then you continue, you could just, it's going to be less and less and less. Right. And so once I miss those opportunities, I cannot go back. And so why don't me and my wife spend the time right now investing into their lives so that they'll be able to cope with the changes in the world as they grow up, right? That they feel secure, they feel safe, they feel loved at home, and they understand that me and my wife is always there for them. So just to kind of give it a back picture of like how we work. Like, you know, even though I'm a stay-at-home dad full time, I don't like, I'm telling you, like, I'm not like a really stay-at-home mom. Like, I don't cook, right? My wife does most of the cooking. Yeah. So I bow, like, you know, I give respect to the stay-at-home mom because they really like stay home. You know, I know stay-at-home mom like homeschool the kids, does all the, you know, does the chores and that stuff. And you know, I do some chores, my wife do some, right? And then my wife also look after the kids as well, because she also wants to spend that time with them. Mm. Right. And so the way we work in our house is we just do shifts. So I'll take a shift.
You take a shift while she's working.
While she's working, that's right. And then after lunch, she take a shift or I take a break. And then after that, I take a shift in the afternoon and then she works. And then in the evening, we have dinner together. And then we put the kids to sleep. And so it seems like a quite hectic schedule, maybe more from my wife than me, but it works for us. And I can say that, like, if I had to look after the kids like full day and night, wow, I'm telling you, I don't think I can do that. I would be like so like grumpy and upset.
But at any point of this journey, have you ever had like the what ifs in your mind? Like, what if I didn't choose this route? I could be like, you know, climbing, be at the top of wherever you are.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, of course. I think, you know, there's some days you just sit at the sofa so tired and we're like, oh, it'd be nice if we have like, you know, someone to help us clean the house, do this and that, or the kids, then we have to do it. But I think the decision we make, it was like what is best for our kids, you know, like I guess maybe I'm not so career driven person. I realized that those days I spend time with them, and actually the time where like when I say quality time, where like I'm one on one with them, no phones, I'm not paying bills, I'm not checking email, I'm just really spending time with them to connect, is so rare. Even as a stay home dad, like I would barely an hour a day possible. Because you're busy, you're gonna do chores, you're gonna take care of the house, you're gonna take care of bills, you're blah, 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 blah. And so I realized that, wow, like I said before, like once that time is gone, it's gone. Like my kid's already 6, next year she'll be going to primary school. And I'm like, wow, where's have all the time gone? And you know, looking back, sometimes I wish I would be a better stay-at-home dad instead of being so grumpy in the first couple of months, you know, understanding that actually this is a quality time I spend with my kids, because most fathers don't have that. Mm-hmm. Or they couldn't. Either they have to, like you say, right, they have to work to pay the bills, or they're doing something, and once I miss that, then it's gone.
Tell me a little bit about like the grumpy part.
Oh,
like how do you because I don't think that's a unique to like stay home dads, you know, like it could totally happen to a stay home mom that's climbing the corporate ladder. So the basis is you're climbing the ladder, you're doing decently well,
and then kids come and disrupt your plans,
and then you'll be like, is this what we want, right? And then. All these planning start to come.
And we had also defined that it's a bit different from the conversation of you have to make that choice. Mm. Over here, what we're discussing is should you make that choice, even though you can choose to put them into childcare? Because we acknowledge that there are some families whereby kids are, I do have a friend, the wife had to stop working completely because the kid is special needs. In fact, two people I know of were in this situation. So in that case, there's just no choice. Someone has to do it. But in this case, we're going to assume all factors being constant. You're climbing the corporate ladder, kids come around, and you're in this situation whereby should we one person be a stay-home parent to treasure and enjoy that golden years before it's gone?
How do you overcome that? Like grumpy dad face.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe my grumpy dad face is because I feel not purposeful in what I'm doing. There's a couple aspects. Part of being grumpiness is I'm tired. So my wife be like, I'll look after the kids, you take a break. Then I go take a break. You know, so that part of grumpiness can be solved. The other part of the grumpiness of not finding purpose or not climbing the corporate ladder, I think it's really more of soul searching. Like I think that period of my life, I was really defining like what is important to me. You know, do I want people to see me as a successful person, having all these achievements and accolades? You know, I could do that and I can do that. But I know that if I do that, I will miss out on the time I have with my kids because I only can focus on one thing at a time. I'm not some amazing person. Some people are, I'm not. You know, so I can only focus on one thing at a time. So I'll miss out on my kids. And what would that cost? They can cost a lot. And I think me and my wife, we talk to or counsel a number of young people, you know, whether they are you know, they're guys or girls. And the sad thing I can see is that, you know, a lot of these struggles they have with their own self-esteem, with anxiety, is because both their parents are not home, you know, and they have a lot of money, really well off, you know, and it's sad, like, for me to see that. And so I can see that, like, you know, if I have those accolades, I can get it, but what would it cost me? It's going to cost something, the reality is. What would it cost? And I don't want to be the cost of my kids not having a father at home, or a father who is not present. Yeah. Yeah. And I think those are the things that, like, I realized when I look back. Because sometimes, you know, when you're climbing the corporate ladder, you just have one achievement, right? Or you're building your company, you have one achievement. But then when you look back, you realize that, oh, you miss out on all those other aspects, which you cannot go get back anymore because it's gone. And those are relationships sometimes. Yeah.
So it's always a trade-off.
Yeah. There would be a trade-off. So I realized that there's no free lunch. There's no, like, that you can do this. You know, some people can do this and that and, you know, have a great career and have great kids and spend time with them, all that. Some people can. And I realized that, at least for me, I don't think I can do all those. I will, what would I sacrifice if I have to sacrifice? And I realized, yeah, I was going to sacrifice my career per se, not working for a couple of years. And the funny thing is, you know, I'm probably going to work, like, very soon, because my kids are, like, now they're both going to kindergarten. So they're not, you know, I'm not homeschooling no more. So very soon they both go to primary schools. Very soon they'll be, you know, they'll be like, what am I going to do with my time, right? Like,
daddy has time now.
Yeah, right? Yeah, then I have time, right? then the whole thing will shift. So for me, it's more of a seasonal thing. I know some of stay at home. Yeah, life. Yeah. Some stay at home parents, they do it for a long time. I know they do it for life, but they do it for a long time until the kids go to university or whatever. I don't know. But everybody's different. So that's what I like about this journey of parenting. You can do whatever you want, you know, but you got to think about the consequences. You're right. There are consequences with whatever you do. So you got to... Sometimes, unfortunately, we don't see what the consequences are, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And
so,
then...
So yeah. What are some consequences? In a sense of, like... Because, okay, we assume firstly that your wife is making decent, right? I mean, she's a doctor, not bad. Right? Okay, it's not probably not fancy, fancy, but I mean, she's still in the bond phase. So it is what it
decent.
Is. Decent. Okay. But still, with that in mind, two earners become one. There's still quite a lot of cutback, right? So how does that affect your quality of life in that sense, you know? Because I think that's what a lot of people would think, like, oh, I cannot travel as much, I cannot eat this, I cannot, you know, it's like, and those are real, but we're not trivializing,
for sure.
We're not trivializing them, right? You probably have to cut back some of your lifestyle. How has that looked like for you?
Okay, I think, so just to clarify this, my wife is working like 0.75, so she's not even working full time. Because she wants to spend more time with the kids, and she wants to run her own NGO. So those are different. So that's a background. So you say, right, so we do have to cut. And now, of course, right now with the inflation and whatnot, you see all the prices go up, right? So yeah, it's crazy, right?
Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And so I think, I mean, we do look at where we spend the money, and we do look at where we don't spend the money. So instead of, like, before, maybe we used to eat out like twice a week, we eat out once a week, you know? Before we go to a nice restaurant to eat, now we, you know, instead of that, we go to eat at a hawker center. You know, we look at, you know, I stopped drinking coffee. Make your own at home. Instead of going out and buy because those are expensive, right?
Mocha pot solves it
all.
Right?
Yeah. Those Nespresso is great. Yeah, so like 80 cent, 85 cent a pot. So those are little stuff that we change. And I think those are the adjustments that we need to make. I mean, that's the reality. The reality is that you don't have all the money in the world. Right. And so we have to make those changes. But I think, you know, as I say, like, we are giving up this to gain the time we spend with our kids. And for me, that is, I would say, priceless in a sense. Like, yeah, spend time like playing with them, or spend time like teaching them, spend time to grow with them, journey with them. Like, of course, my wife is better than this than me, because I guess I'm
because
also
not
so personal.
A
goody dad. Yeah. So, and also because maybe my two kids are girls, and so she can have that deep conversation with them about, like, fear, about bullying, about, you know, concerns, about stuff that is just beyond the surface level, right? And you cannot do this when you are just like, don't see them whole day and then have a dinner time and go home, because it's impossible.
I grew up in a family with both parents working, and I never felt like I could confide in them about anything. So I sought all my solace in like friends and sometimes my friends' parents, but not my own parents. So that's a bit sad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. No, I share that view. The other day, we were just talking to some friends about this because one of my friends gave up high-paying job in China, came back to Singapore, you know, took out something smaller just so that he can spend time with the second kid.
Wow.
Because the first kid, he wasn't around.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know, the relationship is just weird.
Yeah.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, and so he came back for the daughter, but that was meant like 10 years ago, right?
Wow. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Advanced, right? Very fashion forward, huh?
Yeah.
But he vividly say that there's difference, right? And yeah. I can attest to that, right? When I try to think about like my relationship with my parents, I was like, what relationship? it's not a good or bad kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, there's just nothing to
it's
really...
It's just a blood relationship, right?
Yeah. There's no like episodes of like, you know, joy or like doing things together, you know, like playing sports together. I don't know, going for classes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like empty. Now, I think I'm closer with my mate, you know. you know, that kind of feeling?
Yeah, I felt that too when I was growing up.
Yeah. And I think the funny thing is that I can see that this generation, a lot of parents are making those decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think because they see what they grew up as their childhood and also what they want to see in the kids.
Because we are the product of that, so we want to change it for our children.
I mean, we don't want our kids to go through that.
Exactly.
Knowing that. And I think that's a very there's a difference in terms of parenting from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very different.
I have to say though, on this topic, I feel I wouldn't agree with giving up one's career for your kids, right? And my story is that I gave up partially. I never, you kind of realize my pattern, right? I'm never 100% anything one. I'm always like very risk adverse. I balance out transition period and all. And same thing, right? So my story is that I climbed to the top of my career path. I mean, I always had a certain goal and pass, right? And I had like, this was my first aim and my second aim, and I thought I would hit my first aim by this age and second aim by this age. I already hit the first one finally a bit ahead of time, and then I was like, whoa, you know, finally I can relax there, and not relax lah, but enjoy it, right?
Relax lah.
Yeah. And then my second kid came about, and I realized that in order to stay at that position, I couldn't, right? I mean, I could, but like what you said, I was very conscious of the trade-offs. Yeah. And I started feeling it. I never thought I would actually quit, because I was so laser focused on my career, right? So to caveat, I'm a workaholic. I'm a super like, you know, career focused driven. I want to achieve and make my impact known and, you know, in the workplace and be recognized for being successful at my work and the things that I do. So I did not expect that when my kid started to be able to vocalize and he said like, mommy, you never spend time with me. I didn't expect that to hit me as hard as it did. And I started realizing that while I could still do things like 11 p.m. calls and work overtime when he was very young and he didn't realize it, there comes a certain age where your kid starts to be more aware. Now I'm seeing it in my second one as well, because we spend more time with the first one. It's hard to bring up both, like, really very difficult. But the second one, now he's like 1.5. He's feeling it. And he's starting to act out to ask for attention. In the past, we could just push him to the helper or push to grandma or something else, and then the rest of us go out. Now he really protests and he knows, and we're like, he's at that age. They start being aware. And I'm really thankful. I mean, I feel the pandemic was really a blessing in disguise, because it changed the whole conversation and narrative about what does it mean to work. Do you really need to spend 2 hours traveling to and fro just to get to
the
office?
Yeah, true,
can't you work from home and be as efficient? Can't you be in a position whereby you can go off and pick up your kids, and you know, if your kid needs you to go to the doctor or whatever, something happens, you can do that and then come back and do your work later? Must it really be like so tightly confined to 9 to 6? No, I think the pandemic changed all of that. And it's lovely. If not for it, I don't think I'll be in this position today.
The whole idea
of it is so foreign,
yeah,
right?
And you can even argue that, you know, it also affects the kids in a way of like their schooling time and all that, right? Like why kids have to go to school at 7? Because their parents go to office at 8.
Exactly.
Right? So I need to send you to school and continue, right? So it is a systemic kind of structural choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that now you break one. You break this, you can break the others also. It's like, oh, now kids can go in at 9. Because studies have already shown that, you know, if you're more sleep, more well-rested, you learn better, you progress better.
Yeah.
All those
yeah,
things, right? So sure. You break the first one, so many other things and are waiting to be broken.
I mean, in the past, right, you only needed to look at like forums and talk to younger colleagues, especially those who don't have children or who are not yet married. And they would like resent the moms, especially the moms, because they would be the one knocking off right on time and saying, I'm sorry, I have to go, I have to pick up my kid. Why? Because your childcare closes at 7. You get penalized and it takes time to travel from the office to the childcare, right? But then now that we have broken that, moms, if they work at home, they can go and pick the kid up at 5, 5:30, whatever. And then, you know, bring the kid home and resume working at like, say, 8 or whatever other time where someone comes in and help out the kid, maybe when the husband or someone else comes back.
Yeah.
And they still get the work done. And there's less stigma. You don't resent anymore because your colleague's going off. I mean, in the past, when you have all of that travel, you really lose that productivity because so much of it is spent just traveling. And some offices, they don't let you take things out because security issues.
That
right?
one I understand.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Now with this whole change because of the pandemic, I think it's amazing. It has made having a family a lot more balanced. We can balance our mental health as well a lot better.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I get where it's coming from. And I think you're slowly seeing a shift. I mean, the very fact that we're talking about it, you know, this is slowly shifting. But why is it so slow? Why aren't more people taking up the mental, you know, and like just give up your career or at least take a pause from your career, 2 years, 3 years? You know, like why is it still like, yeah. Is it just the money?
I think it's the repercussions. Because like for many careers, right, if you just take a pause, it's very hard to go back. And I think humans, we expect to like, if we stop here and we come back later, we want to resume from this phase again. But it doesn't always work that way. Today, with changes in the workforce happening so quickly, technological shifts, it's quite often when you take a break and you come back, right, it's hard to reintegrate. And it's the case for many stay-home moms, right? We have this challenge in society for so long. Actually, I've always wondered, why is it so difficult for moms to get back into the workforce? Hasn't someone come up with like some organization that values and you can monetize the skills that stay-home moms have, which is they're very good at multitasking, a lot of the admin work and all that stuff that I'm sure it can be valuable in some way, right?
I know, but they can breastfeed and write email at the same time.
But why don't they have, like, why isn't there an organization that can really, like, you know, monetize and help them to make money from these skills? I'm quite appalled there hasn't been an idea created around this so far.
But are you afraid?
I think that's the struggle between work or your career versus taking a family is real. It's a question that me and my wife, we talked about. Right, like you know, can she work more? Of course she can work more, but what are the costs? Right? Can she go on, you know, go overseas to do some trip to do that? Of course she can too, for work purpose, right? Like so this is a question that like I don't think that's a really like the right or wrong answer, but I think the most important is that we just shouldn't assume, like don't assume that, like you know, career is all 100% and then family you can do whatever you can, because the reality is that you have to talk about it. And it may not be, you know, it may not be pleasant. It may not be what we like, but it's a reality of what can we do together as a family, as a spouse, right? To work together, how do we function as a family so that everybody is growing and thriving, right? I think that is the key, right? It's a hard question. Like, I mean, not working. I think the second question about working and career is that I think a lot of people don't want to give it up. It's because it's their identity. Like who we are is based on what we do, right? It's
they
so
tie
ingrained.
A lot of it to their work.
Like
right?
You know, you hear that stats, right? Like most guys after they retire, they die off so fast, right?
Yeah.
Why?
People deteriorate after they retire.
My guess is because they're so that the work is their identity. When the work is gone, what do you have?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
stuff.
Did you struggle with that as well when you first?
Yeah, I think so. So okay, so I work at church, right? So I always seen, you know, want to go back into jump back into 100%, you know. And part of that is, I guess, I want people to see me to be like a good Christian, work at church full time, do all this stuff, right? And that is a big struggle
so
for
much
me.
Social, yeah, expectations.
Oh, my expectation I place upon myself,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
my wife would be like, nobody thinks like this, and it's true.
No one
at church ever stopped me saying, Cliff, you should go back to church and work because you're a bad Christian and you stay home there. No one ever told me that.
So clearly, it's
in my head most of the time, yeah, right? And so I have to rethink of myself, like, who am I as a person? Who am I as a man? Is it based on my work? Or is it based on my family? Is it based on, you know, what am I basing it on? And I think that is the discussion, like the journey that I was in while I'm being a stay-at-home dad. And actually, that helps me to realize that, you know, at the end of the day, I realized that, like, my work, whatever I do at church or your career or whatever, the reality is that if you're not there, someone else is going to do it. Maybe you don't want the person to do it, but someone else will, you know, like, none of us are, like, all of us are replaceable at work. But at home, I am not replaceable. Mm. Like, no one can replace me as a father to my girls.
Exactly.
And when that clicks in, I realize, oh, that's a big responsibility. Oh, this is why I am being a stay-at-home dad. Because no one can replace me as their father, and no one can replace my wife as their mother.
Mm.
And once that clicked in, then I realized that, okay, we understand why we're doing this, and we're willing to sacrifice the finances, we're willing to sacrifice the career, you know, not forever, you know, but we're willing to make that choices. Yeah.
I think also it's a reflection of larger society, right? Like, we're all brought up and educated through the system with the ultimate goal of getting us a job, to be employable, to pay taxes, and, you know, just contribute.
Productive, yeah.
And people don't really value. The truth is, society doesn't really value the work of a parent.
It's true. I share that.
It's all... Yeah. In commercial terms, right? Yeah. Like, what are you contributing to society? Yeah. And, you know, raising a good kid is not considered not contributing to society.
If you're not monetizable, you're not supported.
Yeah.
Right? There's no, like, stay-home mom incentive, stay-home dad incentives. I mean, it's sparse, right? You get tax credit for, like, working moms, you know, and all that.
I think it's true. I think partly it's also because, partly it's because that, like, we assume that once you're a parent, it's, you know, you take care of a kid, like, that is, like, the minimum what you do. But no one, you know, can explain to you that taking care is so much work, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. People just assume that, well, it's your job as a father, it's your job as a mother, you know, like, raising kids and for them to be, you know, grow up happy or normal or whatever. That's your job, you know. And that's, like, the, like so no one thinks that it's, like, oh, it's something to look up, but rather something is just... Yeah, it's just what everybody does.
You have fun, now you do it.
Yeah. Sorry.
But now I think it's also starting to, like, you know, the narrative is changing, where we're really discovering you can have kids. You can, they'll still grow up whether or not you spend time, lah, right? But how they grow up will differ.
Yeah.
What kind of people they grow up
with.
What kind of relationship you have.
Yeah.
And I think especially, like, as society moves from having so many children to, like, one, or some families less than one or so, you know, the birth rate is 1 point something, not even at replacement level. You start to value more of the relationships that you have with your children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian,
when you have 10 kids, it's okay, like, right? Exactly. Someone will take care of you, like,
exactly, exactly. I don't know if you guys know Adrian. Adrian comes on our show very regularly. He runs his own show called The Adrian Tan Show, and he also has he's a co-host of Work It, right, the CNA podcast. So he has 4 kids. So he said, like, the first kid, wow, very meticulous, take time off, this second one also, wow, first one I learned, you know, I picked up the lessons, I improved myself by the second one, by the fourth one, I was like, don't die, can't ready. That was what he said. I was like, okay, that's
to number 4 before the don't die comes in.
Yeah.
My number 2 already, like, survive.
Number 2 is already, don't die, can't ready. Do you want another one? I'm like,
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really recognizing, like, I mean, even for my case, when we were trying to, I was very against the idea. To be very honest, I struggled with the idea of quitting because I finally earned it, right? I finally got there after so long. I worked almost a decade in my job, in my company, just to get there, you know? Where could people give up so fast?
Yeah.
But, like what you say, I realized it was the quality. Yeah, and the trade-offs is very, very different. At work, I'm replaceable. Yeah, but yeah, at home is different. And I think like we don't want to also live life with regrets. If we don't make this choice now, how many people will then go on later on in their life and then think, if only I had done this. So I think it's really recognizing what you said. Anyone can do the job. It's great when women can do it and then we're like, yay, you can balance family. But then it comes to a stage where you realize, actually someone's paying the price.
Yeah, yeah. Fair, fair. And to be fair, I think Sheryl Sandberg quit because Meta is in a mess. Huh? But that's a different discussion.
You should have quit before he went down.
So that's a different discussion. No, but I mean, as much as we go on the spiel, I do want to recognize that, you know, there are some parents that are hustling, not because they have this choice, was like, okay, single, you know, income is enough, you know, so we just cut back on luxury, right? And it's some people, it's just they just have to, right? Both families have to do it. It is hard, and I think the state probably has to come in to do some things, you know, and maybe a very coarse baby bonus is not enough.
I actually feel one way that the state can help and society on a larger whole, right? It's not just to only support the idea more so that when people say I'm a stay-at-home parent, they don't ask, what else do you do? But
I'm a gardener and I'm a weekend painter.
I'm a chef.
You know, yeah, I do everything.
I'm an electrician, check light bulb. But yeah, like, I think it's also if we could get more support on reintegration. I think more parents today, we do want to make this choice. Yeah, it is more of a we want to rather than we have to, right? But for all those who are on the fence, they're reluctant because, you know, it means a lot taking all those steps back in your career. That uncertainty on whether you can reintegrate when your kids are a bit older. Because like what you say, not everyone wants to be a permanent, forever stay-home parent. Maybe you just want to be for this period, this season of your life and then get back to pursuing your career, right? But if we could have more support on reintegrating,
fair.
I think that would help. Yeah. I don't know, but like just some rough ideas in my head, right? Is what if we could have like a sort of pseudo internships or part-time thing for stay-home parents to go back into the workforce? Say, let's say you start with half day and then you get paid like half lah, okay, fair lah, huh? Then commercially everything works out, right? But you get to do that. And then if you perform well in your half day role and then you can convince the company to, you know, you meet certain targets, the company can then convert you to either full-time or 75%. Wherever your comfort level is, and it guarantees you that sort of entry back into the workforce. I think if we had this kind of support program, more of it, I'm sure there are some, but it's just not enough. If we had more, I'm sure more parents would be able to make this decision.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can't remember, was it NTC or the tripartite group? They did come up with some flexi work hour, but it's voluntary, it's an advisory, you know, they came out with a model to advise companies to provide flexi work hours and all that, which I think is great, you know, but these things are voluntary, there's no teeth, right?
Yeah.
Or like it's not deep yet. So it's we're in early days, right?
More can be done. Yeah, you know, we have company CSR and now a lot of it is online, you know, what do you do for the old folks, you know, the environment. What if a part of us defining and judging a company's culture and value are in a CSR letters, right? It's also how much are you supporting families?
Yeah.
Reintegrating family. Like maybe, you know, having 5% of your roles for this makes you like, you know, we'll show you on. Yeah.
Maybe HR
company.
Have to have someone like that, right?
Yeah.
Like someone in HR department, other than learning development, should have like family and
Family support. Yeah. And if we could have that, I mean, it'll be hard lah, because commercially in a capitalist society, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Like
but if we could do it for the environment,
why can't
we do it for families? And these are the next generation, our future, you know?
Yeah. I think what really important is that, like, you know, I mean, baby bonuses are good, are great. But I think it's just that, like you say, what's lacking is that, you know, we just don't want to have more kids, but we want kids that are growing up, that are strong, that are resilient, they can thrive, be creative, entrepreneurial, taking risks. And how do you foster that environment, right? And I think that's a hard part for government to do, because what policy can you do to help encourage that, other than helping the parents, right, to give them the space and the time to spend time with the kids. That's at least that's what I see. That, you know, at the end of the day, the kids, like, you know, when they're young, they look their parents for love and support. And if that is there, you know, whatever that outcome will be, we were flowing into that. Of course, unfortunately, it's not measurable and it's a long time, right? So so this is where the struggle is, right? Because, you know, you want policies that works and then you can see the effect of it. Mm. Like, you know, how do you look at this policy? And like, what policy can you place to see the effect of it, right?
Because it's I think the problem is that, we leave it to the onus of individuals and each family, you need to figure out a solution. I think that's where the danger lies. Mm. Because when you do this, then those who cannot find a solution, they will just give up, right? Then you end up with, you don't get to make that choice, your kids just throw in daycare and you don't really have, you just try to survive, law.
Yeah.
But if we can have, we need everyone involved, right? So companies that are starting to have this, but companies also won't do it unless people hold them accountable. So that's why I think a larger society is really about like fostering this shift, this new social compact, you know, using the terms properly, okay? But really like
redefine
getting, we need to redefine this so that families become a bigger part of everything in Singapore. And I think that in the end will be the only way we can hold on and foster our national identity, isn't it? Everything, all this conversation about what is the Singaporean identity, how come our birthday, everything, actually it all falls back down to all these little things.
Yeah, so funny, right? Like, and I think just family, healthy families, right? That's what we want. We want healthy families so that...
Exactly.
And that's
we don't just want surviving families. Yeah, we want healthy, thriving families.
We want healthy families that are growing and whatnot. That is, that's hard work. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do you, I mean, question for you, last one. How do you then define success today?
I mean, I can success in my career and whatnot, but I think success, at least for me as a parent, is that I can have a good relationship with my kids growing up all the way until I die, I guess. yeah. And I think that is how I would define success for me. And I think it's something so simple. It looks simple, but it's so hard to do in this age, or I guess in any age. Because, you know, like, for example, sometimes I don't even be aware like what it means to love. It sounds silly, but, or like, you know, the stuff I do, I'm not even aware of. Like, just like this week, you know, my older one told my wife that Baba been scolding at me. That's why I'm sad. And I'm like, why am I scolding? But it just turns out
that. You just did.
Yeah, when I raise my voice like that. And then it's like, you know, so then I'm reflecting on that. It's like, maybe I did scold and maybe I need to change the way I communicate.
Mm.
And I think that is what I would want to change, like in terms of like seeing my success, is that they're able to see those changes and they're able to feel love and that they can grow and pass, for them to pass that on to the next generation. Because the reality is that we take what our parents gave us, what we grew up at home, how we define family, how we define conflict, how we define, all that is actually come from the home. It's not, you know, and I my hope is that I'm able to pass on something more positive for them, or something, some tools for them to deal with conflicts, their own esteem, and not as they grow up.
So wholesome, today's episode.
We hope that made you think. But I think, like, to wrap up, for those of you listeners who might be tuning in and really are considering, should I give up my career? I want to, but I'm worried about all these things. Hearing from both perspectives, I hope helps you to find your own direction. He has done 100%. I've done 50%. But I think at the end of the day, it's really like figuring out what we want, what are the trade-offs you're willing to do. And, you know, we really need to redefine this social compact and that holding companies accountable for their contribution to the family.
I do agree. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you.